Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio with your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I am Tower, here with the Watchman, and we are glad you joined us. Please send all your prayer requests and correspondence for the WIBR Warn Radio Network to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. You can find the WIBR Warn Radio on the following social sites: USA.life, MeWe, Parler, CloudHub, Tumblr, LinkedIn, Pure Social, Spreely, and Linktree. And Warn Radio Network is available through the following carriers on our Watchman Alert Radio Network. Find shows on our website, warn-usa.com, in our posts for listening and downloads, on our website via the Spreaker app on both warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. You can also find Warn Radio on these following website streamers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Deezer, and Podchaser. Be sure to give us a thumbs up and leave a good comment on the show where you find us. Your interaction helps the websites. And do not miss these following posts on warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. Prophecy's Long Shadow is a shadow that is cast over the entire world. Today, prophecy is the bearer of change for a world that is destined to be in the throes of chaos. This chaos precedes the coming of the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. And whose word is it? The word of the Lord, or is it just an opinion? But just maybe it is not the word that you were taught in your man-made denominations. You see, in these denominations, traditions have set up fences around the world. And don't miss the posts on warn-usa.com. These are the latest. Wolves Amidst Sheep on the classic Warn Radio. Wolves Amidst Sheep, this latest classic Warn Radio, features one of our premier shows. This one, Gospel News. The latest on Dana Glenn Smith is Bedrock Hope, Foundation's Truth. Herein lay seven foundational truths for the remnant believers in Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. As Scripture says, every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, and afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. And be sure to get the WIBR Warn Radio newsletter by going to danaglennsmith.com to sign up. And you can also visit our Christian books and resource shop on danaglennsmith.com, where we feature Christian books and other resources from our Visions Media. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Doing good. We're cruising right along here.
Yes, we are.
And
another Thursday, another hot Thursday.
Yep, another hot Thursday. Our governor has been in the news quite a bit. He made the news here not too long ago because he's wanting to do something to help guard the border, do something to help the Arizona and Texas governors. And then he came in the news today because Biden appointed him to some council. I find out that that's probably an easy way for him to convince Gordon or some other governor to, you know, let Wyoming be a staging ground for all their greenie projects that are going to clutter up the up the land.
Yep. Oh, we'll give you X amount of dollars if you let us bring in all these windmills to your state.
We already got a ton of windmills, though.
Yeah, I don't like them.
Windmills are ugly. They clutter up the land, and then when they don't work, they just leave them. They don't tear them down again, at least not around here.
Nope.
Windmills are a bad deal. It's good for the big cities who don't care whether we have our prairies full of that crap. Excuse the expression.
But it harms the environment and the reproduction of the birds and cattle and wild animals.
Yep, it sure does. Cram your stuff and...
There's always... two or three sides to a story, right?
No, there's only one side, my side.
Oh. Well, tonight we are on part 97 of Isaiah's prophetic book, Prayer of Deliverance. Prayer of Deliverance becomes a marker of the day when a king's servant named Hezekiah comes directly to the house of the Lord. It was a troubled time, a day of rebuke, blasphemy, and the enemy came in like a flood. And now, back to you.
Yes, sirree. We are in Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 11. Behold, you have heard what the king of Assyria, it says kings of Assyria have done to all the lands, and that would be right, because it was Sennacherib's father, Sargon, who took the northern tribes captive and took them out of the land, and have done to all the lands by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered. Now, Sennacherib and his army went through these lands anyway on their way and wound up down at Jerusalem. And shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them, which my fathers have destroyed at Gozan? You know, when you have somebody like this standing in front of the gate yelling at you, telling you, you have no choice. I don't know about anybody else, but that would just make me more affirmed to keep them out. But they knew they had Isaiah. And Isaiah had prophesied to them and told them that nothing would come of it. And so the people weren't going anywhere. Of course, good thing they had the leader, Hezekiah, in there as well. Gozan is a place in Assyria to which the Israelites were deported on the fall of Samaria. That's in 2 Kings 17:6. So as Gozan and Haran is a city of Mesopotamia to which Abraham went after he left the Ur of the Chaldees. And so you don't hear much about Mesopotamia, though that's the old word for it. By conquest, it belonged to the Assyrian Empire. And Rezeph, that's another city, a day's journey west of the Euphrates. We're talking about a lot of land here. Ptolemy mentions it by the name of Resphah, the children of Eden. It was a country well known in the time of Isaiah, mentioned by Amos, and a country well known part of Syria, not far from Damascus. And so, and the children of Eden were, which were in Telasar. Nobody knows where that is. There's no other mention of it in Scripture. And now, see, the whole point of this, of course, is to make it impossible for you to have any faith. You know, just like give up. You know, nobody stands before us. I mean, we had, China boasting, the premier of China, the communist country over there, you know. And they were boasting about the 100 years of glory of the communist church. I mean, the communist party. 100 years of glory? Are you kidding me? I mean, if you look between, well, Mao alone, just take him. I mean, we're talking millions of people killed under him. And Stalin had the same thing. I mean, these communist rulers are detrimental to their own people. So whenever you have someone boasting like that, it makes you wonder. And I mean, just who? But see, Syria, you know, Assyria here, actually had people that, lived under a reign and they did okay, as opposed to some of these modern people that we have now. And you can take Russia, North Korea, China, they oppress Christianity and they oppress their own people. So so you have this punk out there in front of the gates doing all this stuff. Now see, we covered the part where Isaiah had given the prophecy, because this includes the prophecy as he gave it, and then he gives the detail of what happens. So he's doing this as he's going through it. Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Sepharvaim? And Hinnah, which is in Mesopotamia, they call it Anna, A-N-A, and Iva, that's another one. These are the transliterations, but even if you look at the Hebrew, nobody knows what it is. Been a long time ago. And where Isaiah originally said, talked about this, well, at any rate, in Isaiah 36:19, we see this mentioned again, all these things. And Arphad, let's see, where are the gods of Hamath, a city of Syria, seat of one of the tribes of Canaan? And Arphad, which is not far from Hamath, and it is called by the Greeks Epiphania, or Epiphania. It's like an epiphany, but it has an A on it. Where are the gods of the Sepharvaim? And have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? And, the Sepharvaim, this is where the people burnt their children in the fire, and they were conquered by Assyria. And 2 Kings 17:31 says, and the Avites and Nibhaz and Tartak and the Sepharvaites burned their children in the fire to Adrammelech and Anamelech, the gods of the Sepharvaim. The whole thing is, why, we're tough on our kids. I mean, look what they're trying to do. Biden okayed that bill to be able to use abortion parts, you know, when you, you know, the parts off the babies to for research and various other things. We know that some of the vaccines use some of the original cells and DNA cell structure to make their stuff. And this stuff is an abomination. And abortion is an abomination, and it's likened to passing the children through through the fire. That's what it's like. Now, today, you can't convince educated Americans of that, or Europeans, or Canadians, or anybody else, especially if you get over in China, or you get in India. We kill young babies by the tens of millions in our world. And this all comes under blood guilt, whether you like it or not. I don't care whether you believe it or not, but you will one day, because the judgment of the blood is coming. And you ain't going to want to be here for that. And so the setup with all these things that we've been covering is the setup of now looking at Hezekiah and what's he going to do. Now see, we know that when they first got to the gate, he sent his three advisors, and he sent some of the, you know, later on he sent some of the aged priests to Isaiah. And Hezekiah had put on sackcloth and ashes. You know, he went up into the temple. And all this stuff leads up to what Isaiah was doing. He had given the prophecy to them, said there's nothing to worry about, that God will take care of it. But then you have Hezekiah, who is the king, who, well, do I believe Isaiah? Well, of course you do. And Hezekiah would have, without question. And so he's the one that been initiating the reform. So this is a big test for Hezekiah and Judah. Because under the previous king, they had gotten away from the Lord. And so if these people would have come at that time, there would have been no deliverance. But thank God it worked out to where Hezekiah was there. And so this meant that the children of Israel there at Judah would be delivered. And so Hezekiah receives the letter from the hand of the messengers, read it, and Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying... Now, see, the thing I like about this, and sometimes, you know, we pray, and we pray more than sometimes, but I put the sometimes in there, because he took the letter. He just didn't set it on the counter and go in and talk to the Lord. And, see, God is omnipotent and omniscient, omnipresent. He called the end from the beginning, and he knows what's in that letter. And sometimes we get to thinking about that in our modern age and think, well, you know, God already knows about it, so why spread it? But see, the important thing of it is, it's like, here it is, Lord, read it for yourself. I mean, I like this. It's, there's the proof, there's what he said, this is what I'm talking about. And I like that, because it puts your faith there. It says, I believe in this God that he not only knows, but he looks down and he sees that I'm pointing it out. And he knows that I'm taking an extra step here. And I like this, because it's faith. And he's going to spread it out. You know, and when you talk about faith, Hezekiah had to have had it, you know, because here he is. And so he says, O Lord of hosts. And when we see, O Lord of hosts, that's the Lord over all agency. He's in charge of everything there is. God of Israel, he says, personalizes it with Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God. Now, of course, when you get the Ark of the Covenant and you have the cherubims, at any rate, this is in the Holy of Holies. Now, see, through Christ today, because of his sacrifice, we can enter into the Holy of Holies through Christ's blood. And so we have access, that through Christ we can gain access. But see, he calls it here, O Lord of hosts, the Lord over all agencies, you're concerned about everything. You're also God of Israel. You're concerned about us. And you dwell between the cherubims. Where is that at? That's in the, in the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant. You have the cherubims, and you have the Shekinah glory of the Lord comes down. And so all that illustrates the presence of the Lord. And that was the presence of the Lord. The priests alone could only go into there once a year. And so now we have a personalization. You know, today as Christians, we lose track of what God has done. That today now, through Christ, Yahshua, we can approach this God by faith, believing, and get in his presence and seek him and look to him, and he is our Father. And it's a personalization, it's a relationship. The Holy of Holies has been opened up for us through Christ, and now we have that relationship. And he says, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Now, of course, when you're going to petition God, you enter into his courts with thanksgiving and praise. And, you know, I mean, here he says, he's got a letter from Sennacherib, and Rabshakeh's been standing outside the gate saying, who is the God of Israel? You know, I mean, we've destroyed all these, and he's not going to do anything because Hezekiah destroyed all of the altars of their God. And of course, Rabshakeh wouldn't know what the children of Israel were doing in worship anyway, because he couldn't tell the difference between the pagan altars, which Hezekiah tore down, and the temple where he went into. See, this is the difference between pagans and people that really believe in the Lord. And yeah, there's a lot of gods. The scripture says the gods of the nations are they're idols, they're demons, they're nothing. This is the true and the living God that he's calling on here, and he's laying out the paper. And he's going to read it. He says, incline thy ear, O Lord, hear, and open thine eyes, O Lord, and see. Hear all the words of Sennacherib, which has sent to reproach the living God. Now see, so now God already knew who Sennacherib was. He already knew that the Assyrians were there. He already knew, he told Isaiah, they would be delivered. But this is important. And that is because God wants them to recognize his deliverance and him, to bring them back to himself, to acknowledge this fact. And so he laid the papers out, and he related it to the God of Israel, the Lord of hosts, over all principalities and powers, all stratas of whatever powers there were. You know, he is the Lord of hosts, the Lord over all agencies. And you are God. You made the heaven and earth. All the kingdoms of the earth are your God over those. Now listen to me and hear the words of this Sennacherib. And so, you know, he's nailing it here. He's bringing it. And he's bringing it in humility. And of course, he needs to do that. He can't just be sitting on his throne somewhere saying, well, God's going to deliver us, so why do I need to go pray? Isaiah said that God's going to deliver us. Well, you know, you need to get in there and you need to pray. Because you fulfill the righteousness of this and the call of God, because I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that if Hezekiah and the people would have acted a different way, God may not have delivered them after all. Because this was a test. He could have sent Isaiah back and said, because of your pride and your failure to approach me, you know, I will do this. Because that's in the covenant too. That's, you know, as Christians, we don't think about these things. We think we can do anything, and we're never going to face repercussions for stuff. Of a truth, Lord, he says, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. Now I like that closing verse. Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand. He petitions God. He approaches with thanksgiving and praise and honor. He's humbly seeking him. He lays out the evidence. He calls upon him. He tells what the enemy is doing. And he talks about other gods and how this army has defeated other nations. And then you have, he says, now therefore, O Lord our God, save us. He needed to say that. Save us from his hand. God likes that because he can be merciful. He wants to be merciful. That all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. Now remember, when God sent Moses and Aaron to see the Pharaoh, I don't know if they knew how long it was going to take. But the bottom line of it is, God told him that I am going to use Pharaoh for my purposes, that all the kingdoms may know that I have delivered my people from his hand. The most powerful one there was on the earth at that time, who had control over the Hebrews, and he was going to use that. And what that statement said was, from here on out, Israel, when you go into the land, wherever you go, they will know that you are the children of Israel and I protected you and delivered you. And they would remember what this God would have done. And they did. And so this is another one of those where he proves again that he's able to do this. Now, it's an amazing sight, because when you finally get to the point where Judah is sent into captivity, it's 70 years later, but there's a lot of things about that captivity that could really explode into a really good study, because we had some of the major prophecies ever given about the end of days is during the time of that captivity. You know, look at the book of Daniel, you know. And so God can move in these kind of situations, and he can prophesy. He can do everything, and he can turn situations around. And so here we are. Isaiah 37:21. Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent unto Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib the king of Israel, You'll find that in 2 Kings 19:20. And in that verse, it says, Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, That which thou hast prayed unto me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. Now you heard it. Now, the New Testament tells us that we will stand before God for every idle word we speak. So, the Lord knows what we're talking about all the time, even when we shouldn't be talking about it. But you see, here this is particularly important. Because they got an army at the gate. Hezekiah didn't just sit around. He laid it out. He stood before the Lord. He came. He made sure he mentioned everything. He laid it out so the Lord could see it. And of course, Hezekiah did not go to Isaiah to get the answer. It says, Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent unto Hezekiah. In other words, it was God's messenger, the prophet Isaiah, who came and who told Hezekiah that the Lord had heard. Now that's pretty good, because he's the God of the universe. And you prayed and you did it correctly and I heard you. So he sends Isaiah. And they talk to Hezekiah about it. Because you have two things here. You've got the spiritual authority, which is Isaiah. He's the prophet. You have the Lord and you have the prophet of God. And it's the prophet of God who relays the messages to everybody else, wherever God sends them. And so he goes back there. And it's, this is better than email. Email can get lost or hacked. I mean, this thing just goes by one messenger straight from God. Of course, today, we got a lot of prophets, but half the time you don't, they say a lot of things, but we have a hard time in Christianity really, really delineating what the truth is. That's how come we have so many denominations. And so in verse 22, this is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. Meaning Sennacherib. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, has despised thee. I love this. And laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head at thee. I mean, you look at this. I don't think Sennacherib ever heard this. I think this is the benefit of, those in the court around Sennacherib, around Hezekiah. It's for Hezekiah to hear, and it's for those he tells. Of course, the word would have gotten around throughout the entire city. I mean, you've got one of the toughest, largest armies around, and they're at your gates. And they said, well, we'll give you 2,000 horses if you can put riders on them. So they mocked Judah. They weren't ready for this unseen God to kill the whole army. They weren't ready for that at all. But if they'd have been smart, they would have left the gates immediately. The minute they seen that the children of Israel in there were not obeying right away. I mean, they're doing something. Are they preparing a new weapon? Well, yeah, I guess you could, but it's not a new weapon. It's their defense, the Lord God of Israel. And so my question is, Christians, you know, has God changed? Is he changed that much that he doesn't deliver us anymore? Well, you know the answer to that. No, of course he hasn't changed. So then it's about time when we start seeing things go south, you need to lay out those newspaper articles. You need to lay out whatever it is you're praying for and read it and say, Lord, this is what they're doing. And we need you to intervene right now, Lord. We look to you. We need to start believing God. Now, we've had a lot of trouble since the apostles. And we've seen a lot of Christians killed. And since we've been covering ourselves, the persecuted church, and even before, when, you know, years and years ago, we've always had the persecuted church, always has been there, and they've died. There's always been people wanting to destroy. And today we have the same thing. We have a threat of war, we have a threat of conquest, we have those in our own country that want to destroy it. So we see these kind of enemies everywhere, and it's about time for us to stand up. It's about time for us to delineate to the Lord, this is the enemy here in America. And that we need the Lord to help us. And so the daughter of Zion has despised them, laughed them to scorn, and shook her head at him. And you'll find the virgin daughter of Zion used in Isaiah 1:8, Jerusalem. And they despise thee. Well, Jerusalem is secure from the Assyrians' attack. And has laughed thee to scorn. The Assyrians will, you know, they're feared now because they invaded the land. But instead, they'll be the object of derision. Ridicule. Laughter. And has shaken her head at thee, contempt and scorn for these who come against them. Well, you know, if you were a normal, group of people that didn't have the Lord God, maybe unbelievers, you would have done what you could to appease that big army. But you see, Hezekiah had somebody there, the Lord God. You know, there is an Old Testament scripture that I use quite a bit. Unless the Lord keeps the city, the watchman wakes in vain. Now see, the northern tribes had fallen away. And so, no matter how many towers they had, and how many people were watching out for the enemy, they were carried away captive by Assyria. But in Jerusalem, they hadn't fallen away. They did temporarily through the previous king, and they had a tendency to do that. But now they were, through Hezekiah, close. And they had been making changes in their lives. You could say there was a revival. You know, Hezekiah changed some stuff. You know, he got rid of what was going on before. And, you know, you want the blessing of the Lord. You want things to go your way. You want things to change. You want more peace in your life. You know, you need to change what you're doing. You need to look at the fruits, and you need to seek the Lord. And first of all, you need to become a believer through Yahshua, and you need to seek him. Because without this relationship that Hezekiah had, they wouldn't have been delivered at all. But they did have it. That's the point. They didn't have it before, but they had it now. And if Sennacherib would have changed his mind a little bit, you know, instead of going to Jerusalem, going somewhere else, he would have been alive. But instead, his army got destroyed, and he went back home, was murdered, killed by his own sons in the house of his God while he's worshiping. And thus is the end of a great king and a dynasty. It ended with his son. There was three last kings of the Assyrian dynasty, and it was Sennacherib's son that had the throne, where it eventually was overthrown. And whom have you reproached and blasphemed? Against whom have you exalted your voice and lifted up your eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel? You see, they had been coming against idols. You know, in life, especially in Christianity, you can come across a lot of pastors until you find a true pastor. You can come across a lot of prophets that weren't really prophets until you find a true one. And in the world, there's a lot of idols. There's a lot of other false gods. There's a lot of other religions. And then you find the true God and the true Savior. Then you know that you know He is the one. And here, they come up against them. And this is the answer from the children of Israel, directly from the mouth of the Lord. Who have you reproached and blasphemed? Not one of your funky idols. You know, I'm not a stone idol. You know, I'm not sitting there and having you dance around me. You know, I'm not there rejoicing in the fire you built or whatever to make your children pass through the fire. Now, there's a lot of different kinds of worship over the centuries that humans have gotten into that were abomination. But this God isn't one of them. And Yahshua, the only begotten Son of the living God, is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He already died on the cross for your sins. He's not coming back to die again on the cross. He's coming back to put down his enemies. He's coming back to restore his kingdom, to bring in the kingdom, to heal the earth and everything there is, to exalt his people who have believed in him and given them reward. See, they made a mistake, but this is going to cost them their lives. Who have you exalted your voice against? Well, see, the one voice that was there was Rabshakeh. And, of course, you'd know the army would have been saying things outside the gate. So they were reproached and threatened. See, and they were reproached and threatening Israel, the gates of Jerusalem, the walls of Jerusalem, the people on the inside, the warriors on top of that, the watchmen who were on top of that. And Hezekiah, all of his staff, everybody on the inside, there's one problem with that. They knew the Lord God. At this moment in time, Jerusalem would be saved. It would be a lesson to them, one, unfortunately, that they forgot. Because the next time Jerusalem is threatened will be Babylon. And it'll be because during the ministry of Jeremiah. And they won't be delivered. They will be carried away captive. See, there's that relationship issue here. Even today, Isaiah screams out to Israel and to us. It's relationship. Know who you know. They lifted up their voices. And of course, they were full of pride. They lifted up their eyes and their pride against the true and the living God. He isn't going to save you. But you see, that little old letter that he got made sure all the points were there, they did. And Hezekiah took those points and laid it out before the Lord. So the next time you're threatened, the next time your family's threatened, you take that to the Lord. And remember, it's as if he's there in that room with you, and he is. You have to believe that. You have to believe that he knows what you're doing. But speak it. Say it. If it's on paper, put it down there. Lay it out before the Lord. Seek the Lord. Look to him for deliverance. Because I tell you, as Christians, we're going to have to be able to do that, or we're going to die. Because things are tough today. The nations are being shaken like never before. Verse 24, that says, "By thy servants have you reproached the Lord, and has said, by the multitude of my chariots am I come up to the height of the mountains, to the side of Lebanon's, and I will cut down the tall cedars thereof, the choice fir trees thereof, and I will enter into the height of his border and the forest of his Carmel." Mount Carmel. See, they had a multitude of chariots. They had a multitude of warriors. And they had history behind them. They had already defeated the northern tribes, carried them away captive. But they're not going to carry these away. This is not the northern tribes. And see, that really was the thing. The tribes of Israel, we call the lost tribes of Israel, or just plain Israel. You know, the Levites went with the house of Judah, and Benjamin went with him. They had Jerusalem and the southern kingdom. And they had trouble, but they didn't backslide like the other one did. Because that's the difference in the judgments. The northern tribes were attacked and carried away captive, and some of them did return. Some of them was still in the land. But for the most part, we call them the lost tribes because a lot of them were carried away captive. Off the land, removed totally. Except for a few to keep the land. See, this is the difference. And even as a Christian, if you move out of the protection of the Lord, you're going to be in trouble. You have to walk in the light as He is in the light. 1 John 1. You have to be in that. He's the vine, you're the branches. He says, without me, you can do nothing. You can't wander out of the protective essence of the Lord, His protection. But many times, we do. I read a testimony of a young man that was raised in a Christian home. But he decided at an early age that he was going to put God on the shelf for a while. He didn't want to be a Christian. So he began to sin and do what he wanted to. And eventually he started running into trouble. And to put a long story down, he got saved because of what he went through. It brought him back to the Lord. And he admitted that he had to get back to the Lord, that he had made a mistake by leaving the Lord. But see, we live in America. We're not like other nations. We have lived, you can have everything here. It was, wonderful. We've never had persecution. We didn't have trouble. Now you do have trouble, don't you? America's divided like it's never been divided. It's a mess. See, now's no time to have one foot in hell, one foot in heaven, if you can get it there. I've had Christian kids. I've had kids. Talk to me. Well, I believe in Satan and I believe in Jesus. Well, it doesn't work that way. Well, I believe in Jesus and I believe in the devil. Well, it ain't going to work out. These kids today are blinded and led astray by a bunch of weak-kneed preachers and a church that has no salt left. A church that is more I am or me centered. Selfish, self-centered. We got caught up in prosperity and the glitz of the gold of America. Well, God is going to turn down that glimmer of America, and if it don't change, He's going to remove her candle out of His out of the altar. Because America is not Judah. America is more like Babylon of old. It has witchcraft, harlotries, and every manner of evil here that we think is okay. And God is crying out to the Christians today, where are your voices? You're supposed to be salt in the old days, a long time ago. Well, you can even go to the Norwegians and a lot of them. They used to salt their fish to keep them from going bad. And in order to eat it, you had to revive it in water. They would dry it out too and get some of that salt out of it. See, as Christians, we're supposed to be the salt of the earth. If we were doing our jobs, there'd be too much salt in this old country to let it go to hell. But we haven't done our jobs. We failed. And so when I look at Judah here, when I look at what happened with Sennacherib and all of that, and when we think what happened to the northern tribes, when we look at the history of what happened eventually with Judah, I'm telling you today, America, you had better wake up. And I'm specifically speaking to America because I live in America. I've been warning about America, but there's a lot of other nations that are the same way. By thy servants you've reproached the Lord, Rabshakeh and of his people. By the multitude of my chariots, I've come down to the height of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon. I'm going to take whatever I want, do whatever I want, because I'm powerful. That don't work. Especially if God says it isn't going to work. Prayer of deliverance is what we're talking about today. And my friends, we need deliverance. Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, we need you. This country needs you. The nations of men need you. The persecuted Christians need you. We have trouble everywhere, but you are shaking the world as you said you would. Because as human beings and mere mortals, we need to be shaken and stirred so we know that we are not long on the earth, but short on the earth, and we pass through these mortal bodies fast. And then we live eternally either in hell or in heaven with you. Father, bless those who have heard this. Help them to understand, gain insight, and let them be blessed, Lord. Guide their steps in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming of this word. Okay, Tower. So we are cruising down the road here. 37 is where we're at right now. Chapter 37. And, yeah, we got a ways to go in chapter 37. Because Isaiah is going to take you through what actually happened, and that's what this part is. So we're looking back on what Isaiah prophesied at the same time we're going through what's happening, and then we'll get to Isaiah 38. So, are you back?
Yes. Excuse me. excuse me. You know, we've talked about Hezekiah a lot and him going before the Lord and laying out the letter, and it never dawned on me until you pointed it out that that's what we should do in our prayer life.
Well, you know, I think we need to practice that.
Oh, excuse me. Yes, we do. I thought that was really good. I'm glad you pointed it out that we need to lay these things before the Lord. And we do assume that, well, the Lord knows what's going on.
Well, you know, and I think it. He wants to hear, and he expects you to do it.
He does.
And I think that it's an act of faith.
It is. And
what are you laying out that letter for? There's nobody here. God is in heaven. But see,
he's far away and far removed.
Yeah, but see, we are the temple of God. You know, and that's one thing a long time ago I learned, that God is, you know, we always say, well, he's in heaven on the throne somewhere and not here. He's omnipotent. He's everywhere. And he knows. So, at any rate, folks, we're going to have to get out of here, Tower.
Okay. Well, good night, everybody. We love you. We pray for you. We're glad that you're here with us today. We hope the best for you in the Lord. And look to him. Don't be discouraged. God is on the throne, and he knows where you're at, and he will meet your needs. Talk to him. Let him know. and he will be there. Stay safe, everyone. We love you, and have a good night in the Lord. God bless you.
Shalom, everybody. Go by warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Listen to the shows, read the articles, give our shows and articles a comment, thumbs up, etc. Spread them out, give them to your friends, and we'll see you next time. Good night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.